Welcome to the Sparked Podcast, a place to keep your spark bright. Here, I've brought together my most powerful tips from the last decade plus partnering with small businesses on all things leadership, mindset, people, and culture. Here, my approach combines intuitive psychology, strategy, neuroscience, and results-based coaching to unlock your highest potential. Step into your power and truly own your role as a leader so that you can spread the positive impacts of your purpose-led work everywhere. My name is Emma Campbell. I'm a mindset and performance coach for purpose-led leaders. I'm a mama to two cheeky little munchkins. I'm a wine appreciator, nature-obsessed, stubbornly optimistic child at heart. And I'm here to inspire belief in what's possible for you because it is all so possible. I hope that this podcast leaves you feeling lighter, more inspired, and more ready than ever to go out there and take actions on your big dreams and vision. I can't wait to dig in. See you in the podcast. Hello, hello, hello. So lovely to be here. Really excited to talk to you guys about this topic today, which is all about imposter syndrome, or what used to be called imposter phenomenon, but which has had a little bit of a change in brand over the last few years. And I feel like this is a topic and a question that has just come up so much lately in some of the workplaces that I consult and coach at. In my inbox with clients, with everyone. So I wanted to talk a little bit about, first of all, what it is. What is imposter syndrome? You may or may not heard of it. What it looks like. So I guess how to decipher whether you are experiencing imposter syndrome. How it could be impacting you, like in what sort of like issues might be showing up for you if you are experiencing it. And finally, of course, how to move through it, how to overcome it. Because it can sometimes be, well, yeah, it's definitely not a pleasant experience to move through. I can speak from experience on that one. And really looking forward to moving through it. And I can share a little bit more about my story as we move through the podcast. So who's this for? This is for particularly for leaders, for business owners, for entrepreneurs, for CEOs, for high achievers, for perfectionists, those who are perhaps in a position of leadership or power. Perhaps you've just gone through a bit of a big transition, or you've started a new endeavor. Like often imposter syndrome does show up when we're going through a big stage of growth and we're really outside of our comfort zone. And when we're outside of our comfort zone, that's often when our cheeky ego or our inner critic can get quite loud, and its imposter syndrome voice can become really notable. So this is for you if you feel like you are struggling with believing that you deserve to be where you are, that there might be like a bit of a voice showing up saying, oh gosh, when are people going to find out that I do not deserve to be here? So that is essentially what imposter syndrome is. It is doubting your abilities. It is feeling like a fraud. It's experiencing like a lack of belief in yourself, a lack of belief that you are where you are and that you deserve to be where you are. So there were some psychologists back in 1978, Clance and Immers, who were the original developers of the concept. So they actually called it, the imposter phenomenon. And their study focused on high achieving women. So it does tend to be something which is quite prevalent in women, but not only women. It does tend to be like sort of minority groups. But I'll talk a little bit about where it comes from in a second. So they stated that despite outstanding academic or professional accomplishments or even praise, women who experience this imposter phenomenon persist in believing that they are really not bright and that they have actually fooled people into thinking otherwise. So that is the whole definition of this imposter syndrome. And in terms of like how it shows up or what it sounds like, basically, if you know your inner critic, it is your inner critic shining loud. It is saying words of self-doubt, anxiety, things like, am I meant to be here? Am I good enough for this? When will they find out the truth that I'm really not as good as what they think that I am? I don't have what it takes to be here. It's all of those sort of in that internal monologue that can go on. And essentially, like at the heart of it, like if you really want to dive deep into what imposter syndrome is all about, there's like an inherent feeling that you are not worthy of being where you are and that you're not worthy of having the accolades or the recognition that people might see you as having. And essentially, like how it can show up, there's two main ways. So if you're feeling imposter syndrome, see if this is resonating for you. So either it can show up as procrastination or perfectionism. So an imposter may, if they're like more procrastination prone, you might like put off doing an assignment or doing a big project or a piece of work out of fear that you won't be able to do it to the necessary high standards that you've set for yourself or that you think others have of you. And you might find yourself like over-preparing, like going above and beyond and spending way too much time on a task than is necessary. So it's this really real like fear-driven action. And it might lead to you going and like really overworking, over-delivering, over-giving, and can even lead to burnout because this feeling of imposter syndrome that you haven't done enough can lead to you feeling like no matter how much work you do that it's not enough. And that's what can fuel that burnout because you're not listening to your body and what's really going on. You're being driven by this voice of this inner critic voice. And it can sometimes show up as like obsessing over details or, you know, this focus on just like wanting to avoid failure or avoid criticism and feeling like there is likely to be criticism on the other end of a piece of work that you might be delivering. So if that's showing up for you, just know that you're not alone. It is really, really, really common. It's particularly disproportionately high for high achieving people. Those who find it difficult to accept their accomplishments, like no matter what you have done, no matter what you've achieved, there's this belief that it's not worthy of being accepted. Or questioning whether you're like deserving of the accolades that you've been given. And, you know, like Sheryl Sandberg from Facebook and even Michelle Obama, oh gosh, like Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor, they have all confessed to experiencing it as well. And basically like it can result in a really like big feeling of anxiety, like lacking confidence, sometimes even self-hatred and shame, like a feeling that you're a fraud, being unable to internalize and accept your success. And if you do like win a prize or if you are promoted or if you do, I don't know, like achieve something awesome, often those who are suffering with imposter syndrome will attribute their accomplishments to luck or something outside of them rather than to ability. And they're also often like plagued by this fear that others will eventually unmask them as a fraud. And yeah, it can result in anxiety and depression. So, I mean, I don't need to tell you if you were experiencing imposter syndrome, it's not a nice feeling. It's an exhausting emotion and an exhausting mindset to hold. So it's really awesome that you're listening and you're tuning into this podcast, because we can start to work through, like, awareness is the first step, right? Once you've got awareness of anything over your life, it's like that is the first step in being able to transform it, because you can't change something that you don't have any conscious awareness of. So the fact that you're creating awareness around it now, we can start to understand like where it came from and then how to move through it. So where does imposter syndrome come from? Many people who feel like imposters grew up in families that placed a really big emphasis on achievement and on status and on outer recognition of inner worth. So in particular, parents who send mixed messages to their kids, so perhaps even alternating between like overpraise and criticism, so kind of like moving between the praise and the criticism, that has been shown to increase the risk of those future kind of imposter syndrome feelings. And then, you know, not to mention, of course, there's always inner stuff going on and then there's outer stuff. So like societal pressures as well definitely add to this problem. The fact that our society is like so focused and fixated on achievement and success and all of those sort of things. So, you know, while I think it's really worth mentioning that, you know, you hear this term imposter syndrome and it sounds like there's something wrong with the person who is experiencing it, like, oh, they've got imposter syndrome, like they've got a problem. And I think it's worth just giving that whole definition and concept a bit of airtime and sort of exploring that, because while, yes, there is an inner part, like an inner thought, belief, and mindset element to imposter syndrome, it's also worth recognizing like where that's come from, right? So yes, there's probably some family stuff going on, as most of our beliefs, you know, do emerge from that. And then also like the history, particularly if you're a woman or a minority, you know, the history that we've grown up with, you know, however many years ago it was back that like women weren't even allowed to work, and all of the old stereotypes and assumptions and expectations that women and minorities have moved through as they step more and more into the working world and more into positions of power. But those systems of discrimination and the beliefs and the expectations and the abuses of power, many of those are still in place today, as much as we've tried to do a lot of work on it. So we're still facing, you know, inner demons and also outer systems which are only reiterating those inner demons. So if you are experiencing imposter syndrome, remember that, like, be so kind on yourself, because a lot of it, it's unconscious and it's not your fault, right? Like, knowing that our subconscious brain is usually formed in the first 7 years of our life, and then we've got all these systems that are also in place that are equally unconscious, there's a lot there that's going on that it's not worth us beating ourselves up about and thinking, oh my God, I just need to get rid of my imposter syndrome. No, it's not about that. It's about having like deep self-compassion and practicing deep self-kindness for what's going on for you and also what you faced, and from that place making a change and from that place transforming. Because, you know, while I'm not going to dive too deep into the actual like systemic element to imposter syndrome, I think it's worth recognizing that the term imposter syndrome fails to capture that whole dynamic, and instead kind of puts this onus on women, you know, just to deal with the effects of imposter syndrome, like making them wrong. And I don't think it's that simple. So, of course, if you're suffering from imposter syndrome and you're experiencing deep self-doubt, lack of worthiness, anxiety, depression, all of the things, it's a horrible emotion and a horrible feeling to carry with you every day, and it can deeply impact not only how you feel, but how you show up, the results that you deliver. Because if you're acting from a place of fear and self-protection and anxiety, you're definitely not going to be showing up in your best, most expansive, worthy self. You know, it's going to impact the results that you deliver. It's going to impact your experience at work. It's going to impact your ability to appreciate where you're at as well, and your sense of peace and fulfillment in life. So I really want to share with you some tips and some solutions for how you can start to unravel that inner critic that says that you're not worthy of being where you are, and start to embody your true worthy self, because you are more than worthy. You are absolutely worthy. And as you start to embody that belief of your own inherent worth, the more that you can start to make an incredible impact on, you know, in the work that you do, on the team that you work with, on your business, on your clients, and the more that you can really start to just enjoy the situation that you're in, enjoy the business that you've built, enjoy the career that you have created as well. So in terms of talking about that solution piece and how we can unravel imposter syndrome and transform it into confidence and into worthiness and self-belief, you know, if you've heard me enough on this podcast, you'll know that I'm always looking at things through both the inner lens and the outer lens. And I believe that there's always an inner solution and an external one, that you've got to have both. So there's like the inside part, which is like what thoughts and beliefs are moving through our heads and bodies and hearts, and how they're impacting our emotions and behaviors. So that whole internal world. And then there's also the environment and the world in which we live. And like a big part of that environmental or that external piece is remembering the history and systems through which we've come, particularly in the working world and in leadership positions, in that we often falsely equate confidence. You know, most often the type that's like demonstrated by white male leaders with competence and leadership. And employees, like say, for example, female employees who can't or won't conform to male focused, you know, leadership styles, are then told that they have imposter syndrome. And I, like, because often we've got this like definition of in our head of what a leader looks like, and it often is built around this whole like male, this male style, like white male corporate style, like a guy in a suit, you know, up in front of a boardroom table with a PowerPoint presentation, you know, booming his loud, confident voice in front of everyone. And you know, if you are an employee or a female or even just, you know, anyone who doesn't feel like that they fit that particular style, then it can make you feel like an imposter, like you don't belong, like, oh gosh, I don't look like that particular definition of a leader, so I must not be a leader. I must not deserve to be here. I must not belong. There must be something wrong with me. It's like that whole rhetoric. So the answer to overcoming imposter syndrome is not only the internal mindset piece, but it's also, you know, creating an inclusive, supportive environment, working environment and just life environment that fosters a variety of leadership styles, and in which diverse and racial racial, ethnic, and gender identities are seen, I guess, as just as professional as the more stereotypical leadership model. And this is one of the exercises that I did when I was asked to come and speak at a private girls' high school, and got to present to the entire, or got to speak to the entire year group of over 200 girls to help them construct their own definition of what a leader looks like to them, and start to create these different personas or these different ideas or these different definitions in their minds of what sort of leader they can step into. That it doesn't have to be, actually it shouldn't be, that male suit wearing, corporate, strong, booming definition that's up in front of a boardroom table, that there are so many other varieties of leaders that you can step into. And I think this is a big piece of it, is celebrating more diversity and inclusiveness and showing that there are so many different ways of being seen as a leader and being seen as successful. So that's, I guess, like a little bit about the environmental piece or the outer piece. And then the rest of these tips that I want to share with you are a little bit more around the inner piece, because that's a piece that you'll always have control over, right? While there are certain elements of your working world or your outer world that you can control, sometimes, you know, workplace changes can take a little bit longer. And I want to armor you with, you know, tips and tools that you can use today. And one of the practices that I've found to be deeply, deeply transformational and valuable is creating a list of evidence. A list of evidence of why you deserve to be where you are. And the practice of creating this, so whether you want to get out like a physical piece of paper, I just jot them out on my phone and I've listed mine as my proudest achievements in life. And essentially it's just like accumulating evidence to remind you that you do deserve to be where you are. So in those moments that your voice of self-doubt gets loud and says, oh God, who are you? Who do you think you are? You don't deserve to be here. All of those sort of inner critic thoughts. This is a list that you can always come back to that will help you strengthen that mindset of confidence, of self-worth and self-belief. And, you know, write this list from a place of like all the things that you are most proud of achieving in your entire life, you know, and start from childhood. Like, you know, maybe it's the first time that you ever moved through a fear, the first time that you had to get up and public speak in front of your classmates. Maybe it was the first time that you hopped back on your bike, like your physical bike, after having a massive stack. Maybe it was the first time that you got your first job. Maybe it was receiving your qualifications or graduating high school or university. I've got a whole bunch of like any praise or beautiful feedback that I've received from clients or friends or family. And I save that within my list of evidence as well. And I've basically just listed every single thing that I've ever felt proud of myself in my entire life, from family to relationships to sport to travel to career to work to all the things. And that, just hold that and keep that and remember it. And even set a reminder in your phone to add something new to it every week or every day. So that's a big one that will help you a lot with, particularly with talking to your ego. That's the piece that will help your ego feel more at peace. Another one is doing like a strengths finder survey. So if you like pop into the Google search, free strengths finder survey, there's a whole bunch of them out there, but any way that you can recognize your own intrinsic and unique strengths is going to be really helpful with imposter syndrome, because it's helping connect you to your true self and who you really are, and what's most powerful and unique about you, rather than thinking that you need to be someone else that's not you, which is often those sort of thoughts can really fuel imposter syndrome and make you feel like more of an imposter. So that will strengthen you, you know, believing that your true self and your true strengths, just as you are enough. From a more like subconscious or energetic, from a more like energetic standpoint, doing like meditations on self-worth and self-confidence can really help. So even just popping into like YouTube, like into the YouTube search bar, like worthiness meditations or self-belief or self-confidence meditations, they'll all help. And I've kind of like dropped this in throughout the podcast, but just remembering to be really kind on yourself. You know, I've struggled with imposter syndrome probably throughout my whole life, like identifying as a high achieving individual. And I guess what I've recognized is that no matter how much someone on the outside can tell me that I've done a good job and that I deserve to be where I am, that's all well and good, and that's beautiful and it's lovely and it definitely doesn't harm. What I've recognized for myself is that that's not really what I need. Like I've heard those beautiful pieces of praise from the outside, but what I've recognized is that that's just going to stay surface level for me, and that the thing that I really most need is to develop deep self-compassion for myself and to practice deep self-kindness. And that actually what my mind, my heart, my body needs is for me to know and believe and embody that I am worthy of all that I have achieved, and that I do deserve the success that I've created in my life. And that it's that being kind on myself, it's that piece that it's been the most transformative for myself. So rather than searching for answers and searching for validation outside yourself, remembering that it's actually the inner giving yourself, the inner validation that's going to have the biggest shift for you. So if that imposter syndrome voice comes up, just hear that voice, accept that voice, just notice that voice, and remember that it's just a voice. It's just a voice. It's just words. So that voice, and it depends on what it sounds like for you. Perhaps for you, it might sound like, you know, I don't deserve to be here, or I'm not enough, or whatever it is. Remembering that those are just words. They're just words. They're just thoughts. They're not truth. They're not fact. They're not who you are. You are not your thoughts. You are the presence behind your thoughts. You are the being, the deeper part of you that is noticing the thoughts within you. And that if those thoughts do come up, you know, the practice of self-compassion and kindness is about remembering that it's okay to ask for help, and that it's okay to not have all the answers. It's okay to not be perfect. It's okay to show vulnerability. And one that I've been playing with lately is remembering how beautiful our imperfections are, and that our imperfections are what make us so lovable. And that they sometimes it's funny that as I said the word imperfections, I stuffed up as saying that word. Isn't that fantastic? Like, because the next bit that I was going to say was, that if you can, and it depends on whether you're at this stage or not, but to even laugh at your imperfections, like, you know, create that sense of lightness around the parts of you that aren't perfect, because each part of you, like, is beautiful, right? And that just as you are imperfect, you are beautiful and you are whole, and that your imperfections are what make you so lovable, and that they are what help connect you to others. Because if you were perfect, you would seem inhuman, right? And I know for a fact, it's like the moments that I've heard my mentors or like thought leaders or the people out there that really inspire me, it's the times that they have shown vulnerability that have made me love them the most. So just remembering that when you're vulnerable, it's actually what makes people love you the most. And another piece in here is like the whole idea around identity. So identity is the piece that's really linked to our ego. It's like how we see ourselves or how we identify. It's how we think other people see us as well. It's kind of, like the identity and the ego are just really interlinked. And if you are a high achieving individual suffering from imposter syndrome, and there's a good chance that you're identifying, like part of your identity is wrapped up in your achievements in life, and that you've probably got a little bit of an underlying belief that you're only as worthy, like you're only worth and you're only as worthy as your achievements. So a big piece here is about shifting your identity away from what you've achieved to being a learner, basically. I'm just trying to think about the best way to sum this up for you in the simplest way possible. Because like rather than identifying as being perfect, as being an achiever, because we don't always have full control over the achievements in our life, right? We do have control over what we learn, and we do have control over how we see ourselves. So if you can shift your identity and shift how you see yourself to being someone who is a learner, who is always learning, who is always growing, who is always progressing, regardless of your achievements, that's a much more healthy, you know, sense of self-identity that you can hold. Because at the end of the day, it never ends and you never get it done, right? It never ends and you never get it done. So no matter what stage of your career that you're on, perhaps you've just had a big promotion, or you've just started a new arm to your business, or you've just got a new team, you're at a particular level right now, right? You're striving towards another level. Even when you reach that next level, it never ends, right? It's never done. So you might as well enjoy the journey. You might as well, you know, remember and like really realize that you are continuously learning, and that learning journey never ends. You are a learner. You are a learner. You'll never stop growing, and you never reach that final level. The final level never arrives, because there's always another level. So rather than identifying with the level, identify with the grower within you. Identify with the learner within you, and remember that no one, like you have full control over your ability to learn, and seeing yourself as a learner can take that pressure off you needing to be perfect or needing to achieve. And that can decrease those feelings of being an imposter, because you're not identifying with your achievement, you're identifying with your ability to learn and grow, which you have full control over. The lucky last little tips that I've got here are around finding a supportive community or a mentor or someone similar to yourself, because as you might have caught on here, like a big part of the imposter syndrome is feeling like, of course, you're an imposter, so you don't belong where you are. So there's this like lack of belongingness that exists. So one of the ways that you can combat that and move through that is by finding a supportive community that you feel really safe with, that you feel like you belong within. And if you can't find a community, find a mentor, someone that you identify with that you see as quite similar to you in a really important way. And if you can't find a community or a mentor, like a coach can really help with this too. So a coach can help you with the mindset piece, with the beliefs. They can help you identify like where those kind of that lack of self-doubt, or sorry, that self-doubt piece, where that came from, and also how to shift that inner critic towards a mindset of more confidence and self-worth and self-belief, because you are worthy. You're worthy regardless of your achievements. You're worthy just because you are. You're worthy just because you are. And I remember the first time that someone said that to me, like, you're worthy just because you are. I didn't get it. I just didn't get it. It didn't sink into my soul. Like, it didn't sink into my being. And that's because I've done a lot of mindset work with a lot of coaches and a lot of deep inner work to embody the belief that I am worthy just because I am, that whether I achieve or not does not impact my worth, that I am worthy and I am deserving just because I am here in this world, just because I am human, just because I am a soul that exists. So practicing that belief that you are worthy just because you are, just because you exist, regardless of your achievements, that can help a lot. And the final piece is here, is if you haven't done any higher self or future self work, this can really help you here, is connecting in with your future self, your higher self, the most worthy and embodied version of you. It's the version of you that is whole, that is knowing, that is believing, that is worthy. And it exists within you at any moment. You don't have to become it. It's more about letting go of all the stuff that's getting in the way, all the other layers that tell you that you're not worthy. But your worthiness is already there within you. And by connecting with that part of you, with that energy, you can naturally activate a mindset of worthiness. And then ask questions to yourself like, what would high self-worth do here? Like, given I am already worthy of all that I want, and given I am already worthy of where I am, like, what would my next step look like from a place of worth? Like, what would worthiness in action look like here? And then taking action from that place can start to open up like new levels of energy. And if you want to dive deeper, or have, like, if you've never connected to your future or your higher self before, it is so powerful and so transformational. It's probably the most transformational work that I've ever done. And I've done a lot of personal development work, because the future self work is about connecting to the highest, most powerful version of you. It's not about like copying someone else's beliefs or doing what someone else has done. It's about embodying who you already are and the power within you, and the biggest part within you, which already exists. So that's why I feel like it's the most powerful. So I'll be leading a course on this in a few weeks. It's called Level Up, which is the ultimate mindset and identity transformation program. And it's for you if you're a high achieving leader or business owner and you're ready to step into your next level. You're ready for that mighty expansion from the inside out. So this is about really transforming from the inside out. And if you know that creating a transformation on the outside, you know, whether it's a career transformation, a business transformation, money, you know, house, kids, you know, this is for you. If you know that creating transformation on the outside has to start from the inside first, and that nothing shifts on the outside until you shift on the inside first. So this is really about shifting your life through switching your mindset. I'll drop the link to join the waitlist to Level Up in the show notes below. But essentially, it is going to dive deep into shifting your relationship with that voice within you and transforming that imposter syndrome into self-belief, worthiness, and confidence. I really am sending you all the love and strength and good stuff on your journey to stepping into your most confident and worthy self, because you truly are. And I'm really excited to hear about how this podcast has gone for you. Enjoy, have an incredible day. Lots of love.